The following takes place between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Hello, and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, a podcast of unspecified length concerning news and events in accessible technology. This is episode 69 for Monday, November 15th, 2010. Foot fetish. And hello, everyone. Episode 69, one away from 70.
Woohoo!
And we will just mention now that we will not be with you next week. We will have our regular series of tips, but I will be traveling, so we will not have an episode next week.
Unless I can find someone really good-looking to take over the place.
I don't know if you'll be very successful with that.
If any of you ladies are out there, please let us know, or let me know.
On the sly.
Yes.
So I don't find out.
Exactly. But it would be in a recording, so it might be a little difficult.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. We digress.
As
usual.
We want to get some plugs in for a few people.
Because we have listener mail.
Yes.
And such.
Yes. Ryan emailed us, Ryan and Captain, and he wanted to tell us that he enjoyed the podcast. He especially liked the episode where we talked about the guy who proposed to his, fiance through a movie trailer in a theater.
Yes, he turned it into an was an iPhone.
An iPhone.
Ad.
Ad, yeah, yeah. And he turned that into a proposal. And Ryan was wondering about our studio setup. And we are going to have a special series of tips, Tech Access Daily Tips, next week, dedicated to that.
So starting November 22nd, you'll be able to get Tech Access Daily Tips for a five-part series on our studio setup, from microphones to mixer to software
to music.
Yep.
And if you want to get that, obviously you have to subscribe to the Daily Tips feed.
Or visit techaccessweekly.com on that particular week to get it. And
exactly.
The best way to know about these are to follow us on Twitter, TA_weekly.
Yes. Speaking of Twitter, I'd like to give a plug to Brian Watson. Well, speaking of blogs and Twitter.
Yeah, I don't think he uses Twitter.
I don't know that he does either. But
he's
anyway.
He's kind of anti-Twitter.
Speaking of blogs, Brian Watson from Access Tech News blogged a couple of our daily tips, specifically the ones concerning the JAWS Merge Utility and JAWS Settings Center that we put up last week.
For JAWS 12.
For JAWS 12.
That just came out.
Woohoo! And so thank you to him. His blog provides me a lot of very useful material when I'm getting together the accessibility stories for my portion of the podcast. So thanks again to Brian Watson for that.
Very much so.
And lastly, but certainly not leastly, Tech Access Weekly has been recognized by a BBC blog, the Ouch blog.
It's a disability thing.
Yes. As one of the top five assistive technology podcasts.
I don't know if it's really the top five or whether it's just five.
Yeah, I think five very good technology podcasts that this blogger has come up with.
Somebody has low standards.
Yeah, we are in apparently on the same platform as some really cool people like the Maccessibility Roundtable.
Sarah Talk and Blind Cool Tech.
And there was another one.
I was going to leave you with that one.
AbilityNet.
Yes.
AbilityNet.
Tech for All Podcast.
Yes.
Haven't checked them out yet. Gonna have to.
I haven't either. And that is going to definitely be something on my list to do when I get back from the travelicious couple of weeks.
So, yes, thank you to Damon Rose over there at the BBC for pointing us out and getting us some new listeners that have tweeted or emailed in saying that they found us because of the article.
Yay!
So that's great. And Brian Watson was also the one who
alerted
us to that.
Yes.
So that's very good. He does mention in the little snippet about our podcast that we are sort of, who are we?
Who are we? Who are these people?
We are a couple of lunatics from the insane asylum that escaped.
Yes, precisely.
But seriously, we sort of gave a little who are we way back when we started this crazy thing. We are planning to do a meet the host segment at some point in the next couple of episodes. We're not really sure when.
I just couldn't get it together this time. I had to pre-record a bunch of tips and do my radio show, and we just didn't have time to get that together this
weekend. Yeah, with work stuff, it just sort of went to
But we will get that together. We'll just say we are a husband and wife team and leave it right there for now.
Yes, and if you have questions that you would like to ask us, please email us at techaccessweekly@gmail.com, and we'll try to address those in that episode. Probably be either the first weekend or second weekend in December. Yeah. So get your questions in and make them some goodies.
Indeed. Now let's get started with our packet of goodies for today.
You're pushy.
I want to get this done.
Oh,
I got to leave. I got stuff to do.
Boy, maybe I better speed up. I really do want you to leave. Just kidding, dear. People say they like the banter.
Banter, schmanter.
Exactly.
Let's start off by talking about Fire Sheep.
Yes, again. Fire Sheep is the Firefox extension that came out a couple of weeks ago, where it allows you to sniff the user information and cookies used on particular websites like Facebook and Twitter, so that you can sort of take over their account while they're sitting there.
On an unsecured Wi-Fi network.
Yeah, so this is basically one of those exploits that is very prevalent if you go to, say, a coffee shop and they have free Wi-Fi with a purchase, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
there have been several tools developed to help deal with this Fire Sheep, and the developer is basically pooing them and saying they're all useless.
Yeah, there are two extensions of note, which are Fire Herder and
Shepherd.
Fire Shepherd?
Fire Shepherd and Black
Sheep. Okay, I also
saw
a Fire Herder.
Maybe that's another
one. But that was a different one in a different article. And Black Sheep was another. They will sort of alert you to the fact that there is an exploit. But according to the developer of Fire Sheep, he says that it's very easy to manipulate the code in order to hide yourself if you're using Fire Sheep so that it doesn't actually look like you are using it.
Right.
So, even though you are trying to hide, you can't really do it. So you really need to be using a VPN client in order to hide
in
from
order
it.
In order to hide,
But it is a good idea if you do go to coffee shops or restaurants that have open Wi-Fi, and if they do not have it password protected, it is a good thing to suggest to them that they could very easily fix the problem by doing WPA2 encryption on their router and just say that the password is the store name. Like Starbucks is the popular recommendation. You know, what's the password? Starbucks.
Right.
So something you could help out with protecting against this exploit. Speaking of
exploits,
Android is having or had to pull a application from the App Store.
Apparently, it was developed by someone to illustrate how people can take control of your phone and download things to it.
Yes.
It was a fake Angry Birds game.
Angry Birds bonus levels, which apparently was in the Android store for approximately 6 to 8 hours before Android and Google pulled it. The application showed the vulnerability that allows applications to be installed, and then once installed, they can give full phone access to other apps.
Yeah.
Which means that one app can be a Trojan and just hide there and say, hey, let me go download my friends. So
exactly.
It's like a Angry Birds party, I guess.
Speaking of Angry Birds.
Angry Birds is now coming to mainstream game consoles.
Near you.
I'm not quite sure why, because it's kind of a cheesy stick figure-y type game, but it is going to start coming out for PC,
PS3,
and Xbox 360.
And Wii?
And I believe the Wii also.
Yeah, the Wii.
That could be interesting, wiggling a wand
or something. Little joystick
thing
going, Wii!
Yeah, that.
I don't know.
I like it on the iPhone, but I'm not that big on the big screen. But maybe they'll make advancements.
Maybe.
And it'll be wonderful.
Interesting,
I don't know.
Interesting to see.
So it's something to throw out there to sighted users if they are using Angry Birds on their mobile device or iPad.
Right. It is definitely not an accessible game for the visually impaired.
No, but the sounds are quite amusing.
Yeah, the sounds are funny. I'll give them that. So it is still one of the top-selling iPhone apps.
Yeah, it stays in the top three or four. Regular Angry Birds and then Angry Birds Halloween Edition.
That is still one of the top apps, and yes, they are listed differently. iOS. No, wait. We're not there yet. We are at Apple.
Yes, Apple is planning some updates. macOS 10.6.5 came out last week, so if you're running a Mac, you can check for that. I did see that there was a flaw in the update for Snow Leopard server, and they have pulled that until they can make a correction in the OS.
Mm.
iTunes 10.1 is out. It's giving the ability to stream your music library to other iOS devices.
Now, Apple TVs, too.
Yeah, Apple TVs, iOS devices like the iPod Touch, iPhone, iPad. So you
And I believe it's called AirPlay.
Very true. Mm-hmm. It is AirPlay. When I updated the iTunes 10.1, it did not pop up, strangely enough, saying that 10.1 was there. So once I said check for updates, it said, ooh, there is an update. So
Whoop-de-doo.
I downloaded it and installed it. And be warned that it will require a system reboot on Windows.
Yawn.
But tomorrow, they are supposedly going to announce something for iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
It is a special event happening. It's not really a press event or anything. It's supposedly just another day that you won't ever forget. So the speculation is that maybe they're going to bring out a streaming service or subscription-based service for music or TV shows. So maybe they're going to actually bring out Lala that they purchased last year.
That's right.
That was a streaming service. So everyone's kind of on pins and needles, but at 10 o'clock Eastern, or no, 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 Pacific, or no, maybe it's 10 Pacific tomorrow, they will actually release this. Whatever it is.
I guess we'll find out. speaking of music and sharing and iTunes and social and all that kind of thing, Ping can now send tweets.
Yes, you can link your Twitter account to your Pinger. Okay, that was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Twitter will now have interactions with Ping. So if you are a Ping user and you post, like, review, or tell friends what you think about a song or selection, it will automatically be tweeted.
Yawn.
It doesn't seem like you can regulate at this point whether or not things are tweeted. So that
it'll
might not
always
be a great thing.
Yeah.
They'll most likely have to update that.
Most likely, because people probably won't want to do that all the time.
Now, the one update that everybody has been waiting for, iOS 4.2, is not out yet. It was supposedly going to come out on the 12th, was going to come out on the 10th, was going to come out on the 9th. Well, might be the end of the month. It may be tomorrow. We do not really know.
We do not know.
But apparently there is a bug in iOS 4.2 for the iPad that makes the Wi-Fi connections drop.
Pretty significantly, actually.
Yes. So they have held off on the iOS release. Mm-hmm. So that may be why we're not seeing it. So if anybody out there is testing the iOS Gold Master version, they may have noticed this and not really realized that it was a problem.
I don't know. It seems to me when I read the article that it was happening to more than just the iPad. Like it was also happening with the iPhone and iPod Touch?
Yes.
Maybe, yeah, that's what I thought.
So it's kind of widespread, but the iPad is going to be the one that everybody's looking to because they really want that print function.
They really want the printing, exactly.
But the iPhone is supposedly the definitive user's
choice for blind users.
Yeah.
And supposedly, 46% of people who use the iPhone are sad and unfocused.
Yes. Dr. Killingsworth, a researcher, has created a app that 250,000 users volunteered to use. This app asked users what were they doing, were they thinking about what they were supposed to be doing, and whether or not they were happy. And he found out that 46.8% of users of the iPhone were not thinking what they should be, and that they were actually unhappy.
Unhappy and sad.
Now, he coined a phrase for this called the mournful effects of a fondle-slab possession. So a fondle-slab possession is what he was considering the iPhone. I
don't understand what fondle-slab means.
Well, I guess you're sort of holding it, you're rubbing your fingers along it, and it's a slab in your hands.
I guess.
I'm not going to go with any more of the analysis because I might get myself in trouble.
Yeah, let's stop it right there.
Why don't we?
Let's go into a little bit of legal news about Facebook and free speech.
Why, yes. What could it be?
Well, a woman who was an employee, or is still, I guess, an employee in Connecticut, New York, somewhere around there. I think it's Connecticut. At a medical response center, was reprimanded by her employers and I believe fired because she was critical of her supervisor on Facebook and used inappropriate language and criticized this person, and it was seen. And the case went all the way up in federal court, and it has been determined that the employer acted incorrectly and inappropriately for firing her for that particular reason.
Now, I believe the employee was also a union member.
Yeah, and it was not the fact that it was free speech on Facebook so much as the employee was trying to solicit help to organize the union for something. I believe she was protesting some of the working conditions, and she was criticizing her supervisor in that context. Like, you know, this person is just so horrible, she won't listen to me because I want to improve the working conditions and want other union members to join, and on and on. Well, the court ruled that what was really behind the, you know, the firing of her was not that the free speech concern, it was that they were trying to prevent her from speaking out about the working conditions,
I guess.
So it was, in effect, inhibiting the union from operating correctly.
So basically what you learn from this is that if you are not part of a union, you're probably going to get canned for it, which we have talked about on numerous occasions.
Well, it depends on if your state is an at-will employment state. And if it is, then it's very hard for employees to prove that employers are canning them for those kinds of reasons. There are very specific ways in which employers can be found liable, and it's very hard to prove.
Yeah. So rule of thumb, if you want to complain about your boss, do not be friends with them on Facebook.
Absolutely.
Because it just opens yourself up to criticism.
Absolutely. Don't be sending them any Facebook messages either.
Speaking of Facebook messages, that's a good segue.
Ha ha.
Speaking of Facebook messages, today Facebook announced that they are coming out with Facebook messages, the system.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to allow users to set up priorities as to how they want to receive contact from other Facebook users. So messages that you are sent would actually go to, say, your email, your cell phone, your SMS texting device, wherever you want it to go, without the actual user that's sending you the message having to do anything.
Right.
I guess it's trying to make it more like having a conversation. You don't have to specifically go to Facebook in order to converse. You just do it.
I see.
Now, part of this will also have priority inbox. It will whitelist all of your contacts so that messages from them will automatically come through. You can also mark things as junk mail, probably things like, can you send me a pig in Farmville?
Mm-hmm.
Little things like that.
Join my mafia family.
Yes, join my mafia family. Boy. Please do. We need to hijack some cars and assault some folks
Yay.
In Singapore. Please join us. But anyway, as we slide along here, this is kind of something that people are thinking could be a Gmail killer. But my only question is Facebook isn't that big on privacy or how they handle the data. Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen when you start using them as your actual email client?
That is something I don't even want to consider.
Yeah, so it's something to watch out for. I mean, they do have 500 million users, so it's going to be a big platform once it hits.
Mm-hmm.
It will be rolled out over the coming months, so some may see it, some may not.
Sooner than others. Facebook kind of trickles their updates out, so you might not see it right away. It may take a few months. I don't really care one way or the other.
Yeah, it's a little puzzling, and it's kind of like Gmail and other services, which an old relic has come back.
Yes, this is a good segue, too. AOL is now revamping itself to serve as an email hub, doing essentially what Gmail and Hotmail and other services like that, and I guess now Facebook,
do it's kind of a carbon.
Already. So if you go to phoenix.aol.com, you can set up an AOL account and have it get mail from all your other sources like Hotmail and Gmail and other stuff.
So you can be just like your grandma and have an AOL account that they've had for years.
Or like my parents.
Yes.
Who've had their AOL account since 1998.
Oy.
Was it even earlier than that?
And I still laugh at the bizarre thing that your mother thinks that because she took her last name off of her email that no one knows her last name, even though it's part of the email account.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
It's just like, not even right.
And I was like, "You, what did you do that for? That's kind of cute. It's kind of hip, you know, take your last name off." Oh, no, she didn't want people to know her last name, but her email address is full of it. And it's
we'll leave it right there.
We'll just stop.
About full of it.
Yeah.
Mm, oh, yeah. And now on to accessibility news. The BlackBerry Access Community.
Yes, bbaccess.org. I guess it's sort of similar to the VIPhone users list on applevis.com. Some folks have designed something similar for the BlackBerry. It is an accessibility hub for those who use BlackBerry with accessibility software like the Oratio screen reader from Humanware.
Is that the dude on CSI Miami?
No, that's Horatio. Horatio.
Okay.
Like the Oratio screen reader from Humanware, and they provide tips, tricks, and resources about all things BlackBerry. So it's not only the screen reader, but also other apps that people use to enhance their BlackBerry experience, and such as that. And I believe there's also an email list and a discussion forum associated with it, too. If you want to find out more about it, you can go to bbaccess.org for more information.
Yeah, I haven't really heard of anybody using the BlackBerry and Oratio. So if anybody has any experience, let us know what that's like.
I would like to know what it is like because we haven't heard a thing about it. And I don't really even know that many people who use BlackBerries, period, except for my mother.
Well, companies use them.
Companies use them, yeah. So if your company uses it and you've gotten to use it and you've got Oratio and all this, let us know what it's like.
Now, in other news.
In other news. There's really not much of a segue, except this is an accessibility thing.
Nittany Lions are being
thing.
Bad kitties.
Oh, yeah. True.
I tried.
You tried.
Poorly.
But I was talking at the same time, so it kind of, like, defeated the purpose.
Yes, because you'd never stop talking.
Mm.
Chatty Cathy.
Exactly.
But as I was saying, the Penn State Nittany Lions are being some bad kitties when it comes to accessibility.
The National Federation for the Blind has filed a complaint against Pennsylvania State University that some of its key services are not accessible to those with visual impairments. A lot of these points are very valid, and this is very sad. For instance, there are some websites on the main university site that are not accessible, and this includes, scary enough, the Department of Disabilities website. There are portions of it that are not accessible.
Well, who would need to access that?
Oh, jeez. Additionally, there is a course package called ANGEL, which some universities use, and Penn State uses it. It's kind of like teachers and students can interact with one another outside of the classroom. I don't really know what all it's supposed to do. It is inaccessible. Additionally, there is an interface that a lot of faculty members use to teach. It is a digital podium. It's like a high-tech kind of thing, and it is controlled by a touchscreen, an inaccessible touchscreen. So those people who are visually impaired cannot teach using this interactive podium. And apparently this podium controls like when you put things up and slides and when you put things up on the screen for students to look at your notes and all this kind of thing. So faculty members cannot control this. Another thing that is not accessible, Penn State partners with a bank that allows students and faculty to use their debit cards. And the website for that bank is not accessible. And there is only one ATM machine on the whole entire campus that has audio feedback.
Oy.
Yeah. I didn't have any audio feedback when I was using ATMs. I just had to take my chances.
Well,
they
had Braille instructions.
It didn't always work out. Not really. They had Braille keys.
Oh, I thought they had like Braille instructions across the bottom.
Nope.
Huh. Here I was going completely off the kilter with that one. Remember probably 8 or 10 years ago when I was working at UNC Chapel Hill in the IT department, a lot of colleges would come around and visit and look at all the websites and things that we had. And Penn State, I think, was one of them. Mm-hmm. And they were just amazed at the kind of things that we were doing back then, which just seemed kind of hokey with what we were doing. Mm-hmm. But we were just so far ahead of what they were doing, it seemed like, along with other universities. Mm-hmm. So
another website on the Penn State campus that is not accessible is their library website.
That's not good.
No, not at all. Especially if you want to do research and stuff. Ew.
Hopefully they don't go with the Kindle.
Hope not. Hope not. Kindle, the Amazon Kindle store, was asked to pull a book on pedophilia from its electronic shelves. The Pedophile's Guide to Love and Pleasure.
I mean, why would people really get upset over somebody having a foot fetish?
Foot fetish?
Yeah, pedophilia. Feet.
Pedophilia is when you have sex with little tiny children.
Ew.
Exactly.
Ew. Okay.
Yeah. My bad. Apparently, Amazon did not want to pull this book because they say they do not believe in censorship. But as of last Thursday, it was pulled. So I don't think you can buy it on Amazon Kindle anymore.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, in my opinion. Ew. Ew. It just makes my spine shudder just to think about that.
I guess I need to read more. I totally missed that word completely.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's no real good segue from that to video options. There are quite a few things out there for watching your television and such. Mm-hmm. Most of them are not accessible, but for those that can use it, the BBC iPlayer will be possibly coming out in 2011
free,
worldwide.
Paid. We're not sure yet.
Yeah, they haven't come up with an idea as to whether they are going to give it to, say, the United States and Canada for free, whether it'll have ads, whether there'll be a subscription cost or what. The BBC, I guess, subsidizes the cost by charging citizens a certain fee for the service.
Right.
Over here, we can actually get to the audio radio stuff, but we can't actually get television programs. Mm-hmm. In something similar, the Hulu CEO says that reducing the number of ads in Hulu Plus, which over here in the U.S. sells for $9.95 a month, is not likely.
He maintains that people don't want fewer ads, which I find a little bit interesting.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit. And also states that Hulu's main goal is to keep viewers engaged in the advertising, and from the stats that Hulu is showing, the way their advertising is structured, 46% of people who see the ads remember them later, as opposed to like 32% of people who watch local TV ads.
Yeah, I remember it later because I go, dear Lord, am I seeing the same ad again?
Exactly. I think that's it too. And they don't show three or four in a row like regular television stations do either, so I think that's also part of it.
Well, they usually show at least one every 15 minutes.
So but it's if only you watch one.
If you watch an hour, you'll see one commercial four times. Mm-hmm. Right recently, I've noticed that with some more popular shows that you are actually seeing like two at a time, which isn't bad.
No.
It's not horrible. But Hulu has done what TV stations have not caught on to yet. They're actually starting to make money at this whole advertising process. So
right.
Maybe TV networks and cable companies will actually buy into it.
Speaking of cable companies,
Time Warner Cable, if you are a subscriber, is rolling out the Look Back service, which will allow users to watch shows that they missed up to 72 hours later.
3 days, for those of you who can't count hours like me. Up to 3 days later, so it's 3 days and sooner. If it's over 3 days, they won't be available. You'll be out of luck. And this is only being offered in like New York,
North Carolina, South Carolina, New England, New York, Ohio, Wisconsin, and a small portion of Texas.
Yeah. So you can apparently they don't charge for it. You go into your use your remote, go into the menu, go under enhancements.
I believe it was something like that, and you can actually use the service. Apparently, you do not have to have a DVR, but you do have to have a cable
box. Yeah, you have to have a digital cable box.
And one drawback to this is that you do have commercials, mm-hmm. and you cannot fast forward through the commercials, but you can pause and rewind.
Mm-hmm.
So this could possibly help.
Help.
At some point, there will be an accessible set-top box.
At some point.
I think there's one in the UK, possibly. I can't remember what the name of it was.
We reported on it. Ocean Blue?
Yeah, that's it.
That's what it is.
But I don't believe it's made it to the States as of yet.
No, not as of yet.
What were you thinking?
A teenager, age 18, in Florida, on one of the Florida Keys, was caught and cuffed after he burgled a house. This wouldn't be anything really special. That kind of thing happens all the time.
Yeah.
But this kid was stupid enough to go in the house, leave stuff all over, including a bag of weed, and leave himself logged into one of the computers in the house on MySpace. So they not only got the fact that someone burgled the house, but they got his name and all of his other information. So they were able to catch him in fairly short order.
And evidently he was stupid, too. He still uses MySpace.
Exactly.
Oy.
Yeah, apparently a caretaker saw him in the house, realized no one was supposed to be home, called the police. He had left, but left the bedroom computer on with his MySpace account up and running.
There's not a whole lot we can say about this because it speaks words for on its own.
Yes. What was he thinking?
I'm still shocked that he was using MySpace.
I know. That really did shock me. 18 years old, didn't use Facebook?
Interesting.
He told police he was in the house because he was cold. Now, it's in the Florida Keys, people.
Well, you have to realize that people in warm climates, they're not used to chilly weather like we have.
That's true.
If it's 65 degrees, they're like bundled up in parkas.
Yeah, but the police still found him with burglar tools on his person. So,
craziness.
Yeah.
I went to school once with a girl from Bermuda, and it was like 70 degrees outside, mm-hmm. and she was like wearing a sweatshirt.
Oh, my Lord.
Everybody else was in shorts and t-shirts, and she was like, I'm really cold.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because usually our temperature is around 85 or so. This is cool weather to us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I guess you get acclimated. Your body gets used to a certain temperature.
I mean, I go up to visit relatives in Indiana, and I'm freezing to death, and everyone else is like, what's your problem? Because I've just lived in the South for almost all my life, and am no longer used to this chilliness that they've got up there.
Yep. But hopefully it won't be that bad.
Ooh, Thursday it's supposed to be snowing, but then it's supposed to be back in the 50s, so I guess it's going to be okay for the first few days anyway.
But anyway, this mess that you have been listening to is Tech Access Weekly.
Episode 69. And to find out more about the stories that we considered for this episode, you can visit our delicious website,
delicious.com/techaccess/69. And if you ever want to submit a article to us through Delicious Bookmarks on Firefox, you can do a :TechAccess.
Ah, I forgot about that.
And shoot it over to us in our inbox, mm-hmm. just in case.
Do you want to give the bit.lys for the BBC blog and such?
Why, yes, we should do that. We kind of ran through that at the beginning. If you are looking to find the BBC
Ouch blog,
which is, it's a disability thing, you can go to bbc.in/ouchblog. OUCHBLOG, created a little shortened link there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're interested in the article that mentions us, wonderful us, oh boy, if you want to find that article, you can go to bbc.in/5ATPODCASTS.
5AT podcast.
Yeah. So I figured it would be a little bit easier for people to find those if they are interested. The blog seems to have some good activity occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of different information going on there. And we definitely don't hear a lot of the UK information over here.
No.
Way over here.
Way over on the other side of the pond.
Like over here. Okay, that was bad.
Yeah. This chaotic mess and disaster that you have been listening to is Tech Access Weekly, episode 69.
Yes, all comments are welcome. And if you would like to follow the Twitter, you can do that, TA_weekly.
Send us an email at techaccessweekly@gmail.com. If you would like to submit a daily tip for us or an idea to us for a daily tip, please email or tweet us and let us know.
We have had suggestions. We just haven't gotten around to a lot of them. But if they are iPhone related or simple applications or JAWS, Kurzweil, we try and jump on those quickly.
Yeah. So we'll do our best. The next 2 weeks are pretty much set in stone because a lot of this is pre-recorded since I'm going to be gone.
Yes. And if you have questions for us as to who the heck are we and why are we so horrible at this podcasting thing,
and what inspired us to do this in the first place and make such a mess of it.
Gosh, it's just amazing that we've been around for
69 episodes.
Ay, caramba.
Anyway, if you have questions for us, please send them to us by email and we will do our best to answer them. If you want to call us in Uniondale, Indiana, that's where our offices are headquartered, you can hear how to do that at the end of the episode.
2602-ASK-TAW. That's
260-227-5829.
Yes. Amazing, isn't it?
Simply amazing, I tell you.
So now you don't really have to listen to the end of the podcast, but hey, it's nice anyway.
Precisely. And before this goes any further, we will just simply say...
And to those in the U.S., we will say Happy Thanksgiving, because that will be coming up next week.
Yep. And now we will just simply say...
What do we usually say? Oh, bye-bye.
Bye. To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. You may follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/TA_weekly. You may comment on our voice line at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. To find a list of the stories covered in each episode, please visit delicious.com/techaccess. Feel free to visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.